27, 2014 on the Digital Story. Free Microsoft Surface Pro 3s. PhotoPlus Expo Preview. Tethered Photography. 2015 TDS Photography Workshop Season. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on the Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. So happy to have you here with me. Boy, we have a cartload of apples for you today, I tell you. Lots of goodies. We're going to start out with the weekly update, and I have some very interesting stories for you there, including a surprise giveaway at the Adobe MAX conference. Wow, crazy stuff there. And then we'll have a feature story on tethered photography. If you don't know about that, you are going to learn here very soon. And then we'll go to PhotoPlus in New York City at the Jacob Javits Conference Center. And I'm going to give you a preview of the show that's coming up later this month and some enticing goodies for you to attend. We'll also talk about the Digital Story 2015 workshop season. I figured out what we're going to do for that. And there's still more. So lots of, as I said before, a lot of apples in the cart today, so let's get to it. So let's start out with the weekly update. Adobe rolls out a CC update with new desktop and mobile tools. Now, this part of the story is from DP Review. Adobe announced updates to several of its mobile, desktop, and software applications just in time to kick off the company's Adobe MAX conference. Now, I sat in on a pre-show conference call with Adobe, and it went over an hour, where they were showing all the different things that they were going to roll out. And it's a deepening of the integration between what people who use Adobe software, especially creatives, can do on their computer and how that can integrate with their mobile devices. And they were talking about iOS devices, but they were also talking about better integration with the Surface Pro. Well, lo and behold, so they had the keynote at Adobe MAX. This was today that I'm recording this, Monday. And at the end of the keynote, there was this surprise walk-on by Microsoft. And what they did was they gave everyone in the audience a Surface Pro 3 tablet. Now, Surface Pro 3 runs the Adobe suite of applications quite well. All of this integration that Adobe was talking about with Creative Cloud, and it all just sort of came together. The bottom line, of course, is what Microsoft is shooting for, is to have more creative professionals using their tools, and Adobe seems to support that. So that was a very interesting turn of events. Now, when we had the, you know, non-disclosure call before Adobe MAX about all the software, we knew nothing about the free Surface Pro 3s. Of course, you know, they're not going to tell us, even though we're under NDA, because who's going to leak, you know, the stuff about a few, desktop app changes or whatever. Everyone getting a free Surface Pro 3, well, that is going to get out, NDA or no NDA. So a very interesting day. I got the part about the free Surface Pro 3s. That was actually from F-Stoppers. They did a really nice story on that, on why it matters. If you want to learn about what's going on with the announcements from the Adobe side, you can either go to DP Review or you can go to F-Stoppers that actually lists out all of the software details. So pretty big day at Adobe MAX. Lots of stuff and lots of heavy-duty integration and free hardware. That is the part that really gets your attention, doesn't it? In other news, Rent, Love, Keep. Lens Rentals launches a Try Before You Buy program. And this is from imagingresource.com. And this is pretty neat, I have to say. Starting immediately, most of the lenses that Lens Rentals provides can be purchased outright if you decide you like them. And then they have in parentheses, only hard-to-source optics with the company couldn't easily replace in time for delivery to subsequent renders are excluded. So the exotic lenses, maybe not so much, but probably the bulk of their inventory, probably yes. And better still, the rental fee you paid to try the lens in the first place can be put towards the cost of the lens, which will vary depending on the age and the individual item. So I think this is bringing a good idea full circle. One of the things that we've been advocating about services like Lens Rentals is if you're jonesing for a new lens and it's very expensive, you probably want to use it for a while before you take the leap, right? You know, before you spend all that money. So, you know, what you had to do in the past was you would rent the lens. Oh, okay, decide you want it. But then you'd have to send the lens back, and then you'd have to go buy that lens somewhere else. And maybe that lens that you got somewhere else didn't quite feel the same way as the one that you had fallen in love with. Well, now that's no more. If you use a lens from Lens Rentals and you just fall in love with it, then you can just buy it and don't have to send it back. And I just think it's a great idea. And I think it's a very smart investment. And the fact that they will let you apply your rental to the cost of the lens that you purchase, that's even better. That's even better. So good stuff there. Someone really had their thinking caps on, and I really like that. And that story is compliments of imagingresource.com. And finally, for those of you that like astrophotography, mark your calendars. The next blood moon will take place Wednesday, October 8th. That is very soon, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. For North America viewers, the lunar eclipse will begin shortly after midnight between October 7th and 8th. Those in Australia and most of Eastern Asia will see it after sunset on the evening of October 8th. Unfortunately, those living in Europe and Africa will be missing out on this particular astronomical phenomenon. And the source is petapixel.com for that. So if you missed round one of the blood moon and you don't live in Europe or Africa, you're going to get a second shot at it this Wednesday, Thursday coming up. Get out your cameras, see what you can do. And, you know, think about the location, right? Just don't shoot the moon, so to speak. Think about, you know, where would the moon look good with maybe some foreground silhouette of something or other. Anyway, just a little tip there that we're adding on. And that is this week's weekly update. Okay, story number two. Let's talk a little bit about tethered photography. This is based on a piece I wrote for CT Digital Photography magazine, and I have the link to the article in the show notes. And what prompted this? Well, there were two things that prompted this. One, I have been adding some new items to the Nimble Photographer store. And when we develop new items, we have to photograph them. We, as in me, have to photograph them before I can put them in the catalog, put them on the store. And so, you know, I have a little setup here upstairs at the studio. I have a shooting room, and it's not too bad. Actually, I don't mind doing a little bit of product photography, especially if it's my own stuff. So I had that. I had some new stuff to do. And then Olympus released the firmware update for the EM1. And they released some new software, Olympus Capture, that allowed users who have the EM1 to use it for tethered shooting. And what is tethered shooting? That is basically where you have your camera set up and you have a USB cable running from your camera to your computer. And your computer is running software that allows you to see on the big computer screen what your camera is seeing. And in the case of Olympus Capture and most of the other software out there that does this, allows you to control the camera also. Now, other software that allows this is Adobe Photoshop Lightroom for Canon and Nikon. Apple Aperture has this ability, and I believe for Canon and Nikon. And then Phase 1 Capture also has this capability, and it's also very, very good. So there are some, you know, other software applications out there for those who don't have an EM1, but I wanted to test this on the EM1. I wanted to see how good of a job Olympus did with the capture software, and I wanted to get these product shots done. So perfect storm. So I went ahead and I used the camera and the software to photograph the stuff for the catalog. The pictures, of course, are online right now in the store, and the items are for sale. The bottom line on this was that looking at the image on the screen of my 15-inch MacBook Pro Retina display, instead of through the viewfinder of the camera or on the 3-inch LCD of the camera, actually made a really big difference. I really could see the nuances of the image more. I could tell a lot better about what was in focus and what wasn't. I could tell also about how the image would render color-wise. I saw little imperfections, little dust specks and things that needed to be removed, where I could just like dust off or blow off the hat that I was photographing right there instead of having to retouch it later on in post-production. And overall, I thought the experience was pretty enjoyable. I really liked seeing those. And of course, the other thing is too, you have automatic backup, because when you take the picture in Tether Photography, the RAW file is written to the camera as a memory card, and it is saved to the computer at the same time. So that is pretty good stuff also. So overall, I liked it a lot. It took me, maybe 5 minutes to set up the camera. You know, you put the camera on a tripod, and then, you know, you have a little stand or something for your computer, and you connect the USB cable and you launch the software. I mean, it's really pretty simple. It didn't take that much longer. I did notice that I was more methodical in the shoot, and I think that's a good thing on product photography. Again, looking at the lighting and so forth on the big computer screen. So overall, I thought it was fun. And the reason why I bring it up today is, first of all, if you have the EM1, try it out. You know, do the firmware update to firmware 2.0 and get the Olympus Capture software, which is free, and do a tethered shoot and just experience it. It's trippy, you know, controlling the camera from your computer and all that. It's really a lot of fun. If you don't have an EM1 though, and you do have Photoshop Lightroom and a compatible camera or Phase 1 or Aperture, I also encourage you to give it a whirl, if for no other reason. If up the road you suddenly decide to go on an eBay binge or something and have a lot of things you want to sell, you will at least have the experience of doing tethered shooting, and you might go, you know what? I think I'm just going to take an extra 5 minutes, set this up for this, because it'll just save me so much time in post-production later on. So it's just something to put out there. You know, we forget about these things. We know about stuff like this. We know about tethered shooting, and then we forget in our day-to-day life. So I just wanted to bring it back up, and especially those of you with EM1s, if you have it, give it a try. It's pretty cool stuff. Story number 3, Photo Plus Expo, coming up later this month, October 29th, to be precise, at Jacob Javits Convention Center in New York City. I think it's one of the best U.S. photo shows going. And this year, being right on the heels of Photokina, it's an opportunity to see in real life and touch and talk to representatives about all the stuff that was announced at Photokina. Now you get to see it. It's no longer just relegated to being a screenshot on your computer. So it's a pretty terrific show. And of course, the conference sessions are excellent also, with a lot of wonderful photographers. I have the link to Photo Plus Expo site in the show notes, or you can just Google search Photo Plus Expo and it'll take you right there. Now I'm going to be there wearing a couple different hats. I'll be reporting for CT Digital Photography Magazine, and I'll also be reporting for Rocky Nook Publishing and, of course, The Digital Story. And CT and Rocky Nook are sharing a booth, booth number 6, which is over by Nikon and Epson. I'm reckoning that it's going to be pretty easy to find our booth. And I'm going to be there every day for a couple hours. I'll be in press meetings and doing other stuff the rest of the time, but I'm going to make sure I'm in booth number 6 every day. So on Thursday and Friday of the show, I'll be there at 1 p.m. from 1 to 3. And on Saturday, I'll be there from 12 to 2. And you should come by and visit. First of all, if you come by and visit and mention the podcast, the Digital Story Podcast, I'll have a gift for you from the Nimble Photographer Store. Yes, I'm bringing tchotchkes with me from the store. And if you come to the booth and mention the podcast, I will share one of those gifts with you. There's a good reason. Saying hi is another great reason, so I get to see your face. I love meeting people who are part of our virtual camera club because it's the one time when I get to meet you where it's no longer virtual. It's real. I get to see you. You get to say hello and tell me a little bit about yourself, which is fun. For once, I won't be doing all the talking, right? And then both CT Digital Photography and Rocky Nook are doing specials. 40% off the subscription price for CT Digital Photography Magazine. It's the only place they're doing 40% off at the show only. And then Rocky Nook's doing 40% off ebooks. That is pretty cool. Both of these at the show only. They're going to raffle off a Tamrac, a really nice backpack, one of their new backpacks, the Evolution 8, I believe. So that's pretty neat. It's a gorgeous bag. So there's a lot of reasons to stop by, and especially, you know, we're right over by Nikon and Epson. You're going to be over there anyway. I encourage you, if you're in the city, then go to the show. Come by and say hello. Look at what Rocky Nook has to offer. You can get a free issue, by the way, of CT Digital Photography, issue 17, I believe, the current one, just by coming by. Also, now, all of the CT and Rocky Nook stuff can get whether I'm there or not. The only thing you can't get when I'm not there is, you know, me, of course, and the goodie that I bring from the Nimble Photographer Store. That's coming up the end of the month, October 29th through November 1st, I believe. I have all the links to stuff. I have the links to the article that I wrote for CT Digital Photography Magazine talking about, you know, all the things that we're going to be doing there. That link will be in the show notes. Come by, say hello, and especially those of you on the East Coast that maybe don't get out here to the West much for my workshops and so forth, this is a great opportunity for me to meet you, learn a little bit about why you're hanging out in a virtual camera club and a little bit about your photography. Hey, speaking of the Nimble store, before I get on to story number 4, have you seen the new Nimble messenger bag that I put in there? I talked about it on Facebook, and I think I did an article for Digital Story also. This bag's really cool, and this is a bag that, you know, we worked on ourselves. This is not a Low Pro bag or a Tamrac bag or anything like that. It's a messenger-style bag with a nice long strap. It's really terrific material. It looks like canvas, and it feels like canvas, soft canvas, not coarse canvas. It feels like very soft canvas. I love the way it just feels rubbing against my skin. On the front flap that comes over is very classic. There's no logos or anything like that. We did a Walking Man logo, but you have to lift up the flap, and the Walking Man logo's on the inside pocket. So you see the Walking Man when you open up the bag, but not when it's closed. It has a zippered pocket in the top flap that'll hold an iPad mini and, of course, any other goodies you want to put in there. It has another pocket on the inside of the bag that will hold a full-size iPad with the Apple cover, you know, the one that when you open the cover, the iPad turns on. That'll fit in there. And then it has a nice, roomy main area. Lots of room to do things. You can get, for instance, a laptop sleeve in there for a 15-inch MacBook Pro. So I actually use mine to carry my MacBook Pro around And I put in an Acme skinny sleeve, so it has a little extra protection. Fits in the messenger bag really well. So that gives you an idea of its size. You can definitely get camera stuff in there. And especially if you're going, you know, with a little, if you want to do a bag within a bag thing, it works fantastic. You know, the one thing that I think is really interesting about when I was testing this bag, I took it to 3 business meetings. I can't remember this ever happening. Each of the 3 meetings, as I'm walking in, I set the bag on the table and I'm getting ready. And someone compliments the bag. In all 3 meetings, someone complimented the bag. No prompts, no anything. Just out of the blue. Which makes you feel really good when you're, you know, investing money in something like this and, you know, getting ready to put it in the store. The way the top flap secures to the body is with some pretty hefty Velcro. But what we did was I developed a little something called whisper strips. And so without the whisper strips, you know, if you just have the full-on Velcro experience, the bag is very secure. That flap is not opening no matter what. And if someone opens it, you will definitely hear it. So that's like security mode. But we don't always want that. And especially if you're in a meeting or at a wedding or something, sometimes you want that flap to open perfectly silently. You don't want that Velcro sound. So these whisper strips come with the bag, and they allow you to control, really, the amount of security. So you can go full-on quiet, where it makes absolutely no noise whatsoever when you open the bag. Or you can go with a little bit of stick and a little bit of noise, or you can go for the full-on experience. It's very nice. It's handsome. It's a beautiful bag. If you have a chance, if you're interested in that, go over to the Nimble store and check it out. I'm pretty happy with it. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. I've already filled a bunch of orders. If it goes well, right now we're in limited supply, but if it goes well, then I'm going to order up some more. Anyway, so that was just a little side note, but that was obviously one of the things that I was photographing during this last studio session. All right, let's go on to story number 4, the TDS Workshop Season 2015. I finally got some details nailed down. What a lineup I have this year. Now, I talked about it back when I was working on it, but now I actually have a lineup. The workshop page at thedigitalstory.com has been updated, and now we're nailing down the details on all 4 events. We're coming out with 4 events right now. First event in February is going from Aperture to either Photos app or Lightroom. So this is for those of you that are Aperture users and you want to explore your options for up the road. We're going to talk about migration to Photos app, and we're going to talk about migration to Lightroom, and we're going to talk about all the different things that you need to know to move your photo management forward or decide that you're going to stand pat for a while. But when you leave that workshop, you will have a plan. And you're going to have fun. That's the other thing. It's going to be the typical workshop thing where you're going to eat really well. You're going to take pictures. You're going to have camaraderie with your fellow photographers. You're just going to have this photographic getaway where you don't have to think about the rest of the world for a few days. So that's in February. And then in April, we're going to do the San Francisco Street Photography Workshop. This will be the second year we've done that. And I've got all sorts of nice little improvements from things that I learned the first year. So we're going to do that in San Francisco. And that's the one where we all hang out in the same hotel. We have a great workroom there. And then we're right in the middle of the Union Square area of San Francisco. And we'll have all of these both daytime and evening photography events scheduled, and it is a blast. I had such a great time at this workshop last year, so we're going to do it again this year, and we're going to do it in April. And then in June, we're going to do a brand new workshop, a new adventure workshop, where we go up and over the Sierra to the eastern side of the Sierra, and we're going to explore the silver mining town of Bodie. This is an amazing place. If you've never been to Bodie, look it up. It's crazy. I have been there about 4 times now, and it is a wonderful place to shoot. It's in the high plains of the Eastern Sierra. You're about 6,000 feet. What State of California is doing is preserving the Bodie ghost town and what they call arrested decay. So in other words, when something breaks down a bit with one of the buildings, they don't fix it up as new. They have some of the old original wood, and they just try to keep everything the way it is right now. Great photo subject. And the thing about it is the Bodie is right off of Highway 395. And so Mono Lake is right down the road. Mammoth Lakes, June Lake. There is a ton of stuff over there. It's just another world frozen in time. So in June, we're heading out there for that event. And then in October, we're going to do the fall workshop with Safari West, my perennial most popular workshop. Sells out every year, and there's good reason why. It has everything. We shoot fall color. We do environmental portraiture with a model. We go to Safari West. When you look at the shots and when you're out there with our own vehicle, our own photographer guide, you feel like, you know, you have just traveled thousands and thousands of miles to Africa. It is amazing. The animals are not tagged. You do not see fences and stuff. It's really an incredible experience. And that will be in October. So we have the reserve list set up. And the thing that I recommend is that if you're super tempted by any of these workshops, get on the reserve list now. You just go to the TDS workshops page. All you got to do is go to thedigitalstory.com, click on workshops, read about it. And then there's a send me info form, and it's so easy. You put your name and your email, and if you want, your phone number, and then you choose which workshop you want to go on the reserve list. You will get first dibs at that workshop. Once I nail down all the details and everything, you will be first in line to sign up for that. So anyway, I'm very excited about this upcoming workshop season. I think we've got a nice balance of old and new, and I hope I get to meet you. I hope this is the year that you come out and you do something exciting and you treat yourself to total immersion in photography for a few days. Trust me, I will treat you well. Just ask anyone who's ever been to my workshops. I will treat you very well. You will feel like the king of photography. Okay, let's get on to a little virtual camera club news. The photo assignment for this month, for the month of October, is water. Water. So much you can do with that. That is what I call a versatile topic. And by the way, the gallery went up for my favorite close-up, and I really liked that gallery a lot. It was very enjoyable. If you haven't seen it, take a look at it. It's at The Digital Story. You can click on photo assignments and see it. One of those participants will receive a free Sizzle Picks. They will be the Sizzle Picks pick of the month, as with every photo assignment. And I mean, this is really cool. I mean, you go to the trouble to pick out a shot and prepare it for the photo assignment. You turn it in, and then you find out that you're the Sizzle Picks pick of the month, if you're so lucky to be chosen. And then not only do you get all that fame and glory, you get a Sizzle Picks of that shot that you can hang on the wall and keep it going. By the way, I should mention about Sizzle Picks right now. Basically, what they're saying is that with the holidays right around the corner, now is the time to be ordering. If you're going to do a gift, you might want to do it now so you have plenty of time, so you don't have the stress of worrying about, is it going to arrive on time? And remember, Sizzle Picks, a double whammy. First of all, you know, you have that image that is meaningful to the recipient, and then they see it, you know, presented as a Sizzle Picks, which they've probably never seen before. It's like this retina display you can hang on the wall. Really gorgeous and a very nice gift for the holiday season. How about our folks over at Red River Paper? Make sure you have ink. Make sure you have paper. Nothing is better than a fantastic print as a last-minute gift or a fine art card. And you can do that if you have your supplies on hand. And you can get all of your supplies at Red River Paper. There's a tile for both Red River Paper and Sizzle Picks on all the pages of The Digital Story. And Sizzle Picks, of course, is also at sizzlepicks.com, SIZZLPIX.com. And for Red River Paper, if you don't use the tile and go to our own landing page there on the site, I would recommend you go over to their Facebook page and see what's going on. You might be able to score some free paper over there. All right, I think that is going to do it for today. I really hope I get to see you either at Photo Plus Expo later this month or at one of the workshops in 2015. Like I said, I love having a virtual camera club, but I love meeting the members of our virtual camera club in person even more. And maybe with some of these opportunities coming up, that will happen. All right, more great stuff coming next week. Make sure you come back and join me. Until then, have a fabulous week. Bye-bye now.